Thank you for downloading the Flixsters podcast. On this week's episode,
I wasn't going to watch this film, but then I thought I should watch it because it looks like an interesting film. So I watched it. And do you know what? Just to start with, the film's actually quite...
I thought it was a great kind of directorial debut. There's kind of like the highs and the lows. You know, you win in life, you lose in life, you get battered, life knocks you down. And, you know, you got to keep getting up.
In this film, she gets to a point of a real low. And then from that low, the only one way is up. She takes it upon herself to train, just like Halle Berry did. She trains, she gets confidence, above confidence, I'll say. She almost turns superhuman, and she learns how to fight back. And over a process of...
All right, so listen, I want to just make sure...
Your beard is getting nice and long there, man.
Bro, I mean, like, Wolverine. Listen, I need to get... Hey, Babs. I wish I had the adamantium claws, man. Listen, man, seriously, what would you do?
The amarantium. Amarantium.
What wouldn't you do with those claws, and what wouldn't you do with that healing, man? Seriously, you just like open them blades up for like whenever.
You can do the healing right now with this new strain of coronavirus, so definitely you can deal with that.
Have you heard the name them claws Omicron. Right now?
Doner Kebab. They'll have you in the Doner Kebab store. Chili sauce.
But listen, they've given it some name. They've given it some next level name, like Omicron. I'm like, where are they getting these names from?
Omicron crystal. Isn't that an X-Men or something?
The dark gold is like, you know, some like, you know, they're reading the book of the dark man. That's what they're reading. Gosh. There, man. Omicron. Let's hope it doesn't rear its ugly head, man. Yeah, over there. Yeah, and over. Yeah. Here. But listen, how you doing anyway?
Yeah, all good. Saw some good film. Yeah. This week. So, yeah.
All right. Yeah. So listen, yeah. So we're going to be speaking about House of Gucci. We're going to be speaking about Bruised, which is this new Halle Berry movie that we're going to kind of like talk about. And then if we've got time, we're going to throw in a hidden gem for you as well. And stick around for the show. Remember, like, subscribe, do all that sort of stuff on social media. We're on YouTube, we're on Instagram, we're on Twitter. Get in touch with us. Let us know what you're watching and we will shout you out. So, Devout, let's do this. Let's get into the shout outs, actually. Yeah. So who are we shouting out?
Before the shout outs, quickly going to mention our giveaway still happening, Disney Plus. All you got to do is write us a review, stick it out there, let us know that you've done the review, and we will send you a free Disney Plus subscription up until the end of April, giving you enough time to watch Hawkeye and watch everything else that's out there, and a lot of fun to be had. So yeah, do that. You'll get your free subscription. Do it right now.
Right now. Get on there. Exactly. Devout, shout outs. Who are shouting out?
Yeah, some good, great shout outs, actually. Dark Skin Women. We've spoken about them before. Really positive platform on Instagram that really celebrate the different lovely tones of dark skin women. Because we know there's a lot of colorism that happens out there in society. So they really celebrate people of the darker tone. So dark skin women, they went to go and see King Richard, loved it. And really shouted out us, actually, the Flixsters, on their page, which we really, really, really appreciate. Just Mercury, again, King Richard. A lot of people loved King Richard, actually.
Loved the King Richard, yeah.
Lisa Moyo, she's a go and check out her page as well. Really great page, fashion, all these different looks. Looks that I can't pull off, but she can, obviously. Our very own Zakharov. Zakharov, get well soon. I heard he's under the weather right now. So Zakharov, get well soon. I hope listening to the Flixsters makes you feel a lot better.
Cheers you up a bit.
Yeah, definitely. We got Kel on YouTube, King Richard again. Yeah. I think she went to go see it with her family. And she's saying that she loved it and she loves the Flixsters. So Kel, brilliant. Big shout out to you. Natalie, 24th, again, King Richard. And she saw Ghostbusters, actually. She saw Ghostbusters and she loved it. And then Simstar, again, saw Ghostbusters and loves the nostalgic parts of Ghostbusters. So there you go. Yeah. There's our shout outs. Thank you very much, everybody.
Yeah. I mean, me and Simster, we go back way back. We used to work in we used to work in Harrow together. And I can't, you know what? There were probably so many moments where we would speak about films and speak about like TV shows and whatnot. So yeah, and Simster, she works in she does hair and makeup and things like that. And she was at Comic Con recently? I can't remember if she was at Comic Con.
On Instagram, I think she went to Comic Con and I think in the UK somewhere and met a lot of the cast from Arrow. So met John Diggle, met Arrow himself, and she's really into it. Yeah, she loves it.
So Sim, yeah, keep in touch. Yeah, and let us know what you're watching. All right, okay. Movie news now. Yep. Devout, let's speak about this. Like Doctor Strange. Part two, we know it's definitely coming, but there's been some reshoots and people are saying, well, why is there the reshoots? Is there something major going on? And remember in last week's episode, we said, you know, there's a rumor going around that Hugh Jackman might be in there and he might be reprising his role as Wolverine.
Yeah.
But what's up with these reshoots? Why are they doing the reshoots?
Mm. Well, Benedict Cumberbatch actually came out in an interview and just said, first of all, for people that don't know, reshoots happen on many movies, many movies, especially those with special effects and, you know, those sort of big cinematic movies. There's a lot of reshoots that happen, so it's normal. But they had reshoots already, and now there's more reshoots. Mm. And he just came out and said, there's nothing to worry about. The schedule was a little bit interrupted with COVID and other bits and bobs as well. Also, people have other jobs they're working, you know, different actors are doing different projects and they can't always be in the same room at the same time. So he just said it's a mixture of delays from COVID, availability, and some of the scenes that they're doing are some really, really deep scenes, some really big scenes.
Elaborate.
They had to make sure that they had everything in place to complete these things, because this movie, Doctor Strange, Multiverse of Madness, is going to be a madness. So they want to get it right. Sam Raimi is obviously directing this one. And, you know, America Chavez is going to be in it. Doctor Strange, obviously. Scarlet Witch.
Chewie's going to be back.
Shuman Graf. Going to be all kinds of bandits. Who else? Who knows who else is going to show up in this film?
Yeah, you know, well, Chewie Tail Edgeful is going to, like, you know, I want to see what happens. Because remember, there was that whole thing where he turned a bit dark.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
towards the end and, like, you know. I still the staff of the Living Tribunal, like all that stuff, man.
When it happened in part one, when he raised it up and said, "This is the staff of the Living," because the Living Tribunal in Marvel Comics is the Living Tribunal is the second most powerful character, second to the One Above All. So the hierarchy is One Above All, One Living Above Tribunal, all. And then you've got like Entity, you've got Infinity, you've got
So where does the Watcher come in all of this?
Sorry?
Where does the Watcher come in all of this?
The Watcher wouldn't be listed among those people. The Watcher doesn't have sort of those galactic, interdimensional, because those entities can exist within dimensions and multiverses. Yeah. They're top level ones, you know? Got a few other people that maybe come near, like the Beyonder. You got the Molecule Man, who's a next level person as well. He can, you know, manipulate any molecule in the universe. You got, and then you got below that. You got like the Omega level power people
who are still
sort of regular mutants or whatever. But are mad like
Professor
power.
X.
Yeah, but anyway, Doctor Strange. And if the Living Tribunal shows up in that, it's over. It's over.
Game over, finished. Man. So they're still doing the reshoots on that one. And hopefully they haven't... Well, no, they have messed around with the dates on that, haven't they? Because it's been delayed a little bit.
It's May
only by
now.
A couple of months, though.
May rather than March 2022.
Okay, 2022. All right, so listen, folks, look, keep your eyes on that one. And like Deval said, it's going to be a madness. Loads of shit going on in that one. Mm. Remember, Scarlet Witch is going to appear in that one. Now, listen, a movie that has wrapped filming is Ant-Man. Mm. And this... Ant-Man. So listen, this movie's wrapped, and the director, he basically was out on social media, and he kind of put up something on Twitter, and he kind of announced that, look, listen, the movie's wrapped, and probably there's going to be some reshoots. There's going to be obviously, you know, post-production shit going on as well. And how he announced the wrap of that is some cool artwork of Ant-Man and the Wasp in action. So if you want to check that out, go on Twitter and you can see that. But listen, this is going to be a big movie. And the reason why this is going to be a big movie is because Kang the Conqueror is going to feature in this.
Yeah.
So that whole thing with Loki that we saw in Loki, obviously the first season, is something is going to be happening with you know, Ant-Man and the Wasp, because it's called Ant-Man and the Wasp and the, what is it? The Quantumania.
Yeah,
Quantumania.
That's so a mix the quantum of realm. The Quantumverse and just mania, like multiverse of madness. There's all kinds of madness going on in Marvel. Imagine the Quantumania. So they're going to be going into the quantum realm. And there's going to be a bit of madness going on in there. Craziness.
Time works differently in the quantum realm. Obviously, Kang the Conqueror, he manipulates time. So there's going to be all this stuff going on. So can't wait for that one. I think that's going to be really integral to the whole kind of next phase of the MCU. Yeah. So we'll keep you posted on that one. And here's some other interesting piece of news, Deval. Now, I'm not sure if you saw this, but Vin Diesel.
When you lean back, I know something big's happening, you know.
Come on, man. We've spoken about this character. I've got to sit back for this. But listen, how many people do you know who are fans of Riddick? Come on, man. Yeah. That character is deep. And like, you know, there's about four movies out there already. But check this out.
Question,
there's been an
which
update.
Which one of the Riddick movies is your favorite?
I love the first one. I like the first one. The second one is good as well because
you
kind of go.
The second one, you know, the second one, I got a special thing for it. The Chronicles of Riddick.
Yeah,
that's the sort of film. When it comes on telly, I could actually just watch it and just sit there and watch it. There's bits in it that I just like. I don't know. I hear you. So the first one is special, but for me, the second one, I kind of like it. You know, you keep what you kill. That is the Necromunga way. I mean, come on, man.
And it was, what I love about that character is because it's like so mysterious. Like you don't know, like, hang on, what the hell is this thing? Is he like bad? Is he good or whatever? But so listen, look, I mean, at some point beyond the whole Fast and Furious franchise, I mean, they're going to finish at number 11, I think. And what's Vin Diesel going to do next? I mean, you know, Guardians of the Galaxy, that's going to be ending as well.
Yeah.
What other big franchise? And the other franchise is obviously Riddick. And apparently he posted a kind of like a bit of an update. So this is what he had to say. He said it's going to be titled Riddick 4 and it's going to be called Furia. Right? And according to Diesel, the storyline will delve into the mysterious origins of the highly skilled Furion. So this is what he had to say. He said, are you guys excited to hear about Furia? Do you want to know where it all began with that dark character Riddick?
Yes.
And we're going to get it. We're going to get another Riddick movie.
I want to know. And we'll get to see more Furions because he's a crazy character. Maybe there's a lot more crazy ones like him. Like he could have brothers on Furia or, you know, cousins or whatever.
Yeah, man.
That could be
they're going to come out the woodwork. So we'll see what happens. Yeah. Let's just hope it's not another Bloodshot. No, was it Bloodshot or Deadshot?
Yeah,
Bloodshot. I can't remember which one he did. Was it Bloodshot?
Yeah.
That one let me down, man.
Yeah.
That was a bit of a letdown.
Yeah,
that was a bit, because he's a big character. That is a really, really good, like in the comic books and everything, that's like a big character. So hopefully he's got some good writers behind him and, you know, they can do the magic on that one. All right, listen, we're going to quickly move on to streaming and we definitely got to speak about this. So listen, this week we saw the new Disney Plus show Hawkeye dropping on Wednesday, and obviously the whole internet went out and kind of like watched this. Everyone who's a Marvel fan went out and watched it, and Disney, they released episodes number 1 and 2, and they're longer. These episodes are longer, Deva. They're about 50 minutes. And man, I had a really, really good time watching them. Hayley Steinfeld, whatever, she's actually really good. She brings that kind of you know, we saw in Bumblebee. Was it Bumblebee? Yeah, we saw that kind of that teenage angst type of kind of role that she brings to it. We've seen her in other things. Edge of 17, she did that really well. And in a couple of other movies and stuff. She's a really big star. She's going to be even bigger. She plays Kate Bishop in this. And it's kind of like people will be wondering, well, what happened to Hawkeye after, you know, Avengers Endgame? And you're basically going to see exactly what happens. And there's going to be some spoilers that we're going to speak about now, Deval and I. It starts off in 2012. And Deval, have you noticed, you know, the Chitauri invasion, that has been the kickstart of, of kind of like little bits and pieces within the kind of TV MCU. And we see it from a different angle now.
Yeah. So it was done from, so well. It was like the way the 2012 invasion was happening and Chitauri and all that, and Hawkeye was quite pivotal. He was a member because Iron Man gave everyone orders. Hawkeye was up top, you know, shooting off all these Chitauri. And I remember in Avengers, there's one Chitauri that's flying around and he shoots it with like a sort of a acid of arrow, and it sort of dissolves the ship and it falls down. And we see that scene happening through Kate Bishop's eyes, because there's a Chitauri coming towards her, and then we see him do that same shot where it hits it and it sort of falls down and doesn't hit her. It's that, it's so accurate. I was really, even the way he was fighting on top of the roof, it was accurate. Like, they did a really good job with that scene. Really good. Because we didn't really get to see that battle from the eyes of the people. We only got to see it from the eyes of the Avengers. People got hurt. People were killed, I'm sure.
Yeah, all those
like wiggly worm things, they're massive. They got to fall down on buildings and people are in those buildings.
Totally. And apparently, I was doing kind of like a bit of research on this. The makers of Hawkeye, they actually went back and they watched the dailies. They called the dailies the stuff that they film on the day. Yes. So they went back to the dailies of Avengers and they watched all that stuff so that they can then plan this Hawkeye scene. Yeah. It's brilliant. Really good. So what happens is that kickstarts Kate Bishop's character. She's like, she sees Hawkeye, he's fighting on the kind of the top of the roof. He's taking out the bad guys. And then from that point onwards, it's like she wants to be an archer, and, you know, she grows up and she's kind of like, you know, like she's won like state champions and she's a martial artist and everything like that. And the beginning of it is just her story, isn't it, Deval? Mm. So we just basically see about her, you know, she's at university or college or whatever it is, and she does something, she gets into trouble, she comes back to New York. And then at the same time, Hawkeye's in New York as well with his family. And there's a brilliant kind of opening bit where they're watching Steve Rogers, the musical.
Yeah, that's funny. I can do this all day.
That is funny, man.
They're singing, I can do this all day.
I can do this all day.
And he kind of cringes because he's like, oh, that didn't happen like that. Because they're really playing out the scenes of the Battle of New York. So it's good to see him sort of cringe and be like, nah, you know.
This isn't really what happened type of thing. So we kind of see that whole thing. He's in New York. He's having a, you know, trying to bond with his, you know, with his family and everything. Mm. And I didn't realize he had another son. And he's like, so tall, son. That kid. Yeah, I didn't even know that.
The same son that was in Ultron, but he's grown.
And the daughter as well, right?
Yeah, the daughter is a real-life daughter of Joe Russo or Anthony Russo, one of them.
Okay.
Sort of shorter one, more chubbier one. She's the daughter of that one.
So look, he has kind of like, you know, this kind of thing going on. And then there's this crazy setup where, you know, Kate Bishop, she is the daughter of kind of like, you know, this rich, New York socialite who's getting married to kind of like a guy who seems pretty shady.
Yeah.
And they're in some sort of, the action picks up when they're in some sort of kind of auction.
Yeah.
Deval.
Yeah.
There's kind of like this big kind of set piece where there's an auction, and lo and behold, Ronin, so the character Ronin from the comic books, who we saw in Avengers
Endgame,
that suit is on the auction list.
Yeah. A lot of the auction pieces are pieces from the Avengers that were recovered when in Endgame, Hulk, you know, done the whole snap and Thanos came and smashed the building. A lot of pieces got, I guess, recovered by people and sold on, you know, the market. And that's what's happening. Some of those things are really expensive, like hundreds of thousands, if not millions. So,
If not millions. So somehow the Ronin suit is there, and through kind of like, you know, some, you know, crazy shit, Kate Bishop, she gets hold of the mask and she gets hold of the cape and she starts fighting the bad guys. And then she's on the news, and then Jeremy Renner, Hawkeye, sees it and is like, I've got to get my suit back. And then that kickstarts the whole kind of, right, bringing these two characters together, and then they finally meet, and then this kind of like dynamic between these two guys. It's fun, you know, they're having a lot of fun with each other, and he's starting to act like a mentor, right?
Yeah. The other thing that surprised me was that they got friendly really quick.
Really quick.
Like, really quick. Like, they just kind of, like they've known each other forever.
Yeah.
So that's the only thing I thought was a little bit weird. But apart from that, yeah, there was a good dynamic. You know, he's a sort of reluctant mentor. She's an enthusiastic sort of fangirl of Hawkeye. And she is skilled, really skilled. She does beat up a few people. And I'm thinking, wow, she's kind of strong, you know?
I know.
I think so far we're going to get quite a lot from this show. We should be getting Echo, who's a Daredevil enemy as well. Swordmaster is the person that's with Kate Bishop's mum. He's another enemy from the comics, usually around Daredevil as well. There's quite a few Daredevil enemies, sort of street level enemies that are in this. So that's why they're saying Daredevil might show up, or Kingpin might show up too. So
yeah, that's the show rumor
could
that
reveal
heard.
A lot. Yeah. Tracksuit Mafia, so what are we, they're very funny as well.
Tracksuit Mafia, yeah, exactly, it's crazy. So what are we, and then it ends on episode number two, it ends on the introduction of kind of like, you know, a major villain. So like, you know, there's
Echo,
all that.
Yeah.
So what, so how many episodes are we looking at over here? Four more episodes?
I think it's six, yeah, so four more. So it'll finish just before Christmas.
And then that leads us up to Boba, I think.
Boba, Spider-Man, Matrix. I mean, the list goes on. There's a lot going on around Christmas.
All right. So listen, if you haven't seen it, go check it out. And I think they're really hoping it to be kind of like, you know, this kind of like holiday, you know, this, it did have kind of like a bit of a diehard vibe to it.
Yeah. Getting home for, you know, Christmas, kind of, but you got to figure out
how back
to
for Christmas.
Deal with these enemies first kind of thing.
It kind of has that. So we'll see what happens with the character Hawkeye. I mean, we don't know if he's going to come back to play in any movies, do we, DeVal?
I don't know. Probably will at some point, but yeah, don't know actually.
Go check it out. And obviously we'll kind of speak about the other episodes when they come and pass. But listen, I want to quickly speak about this other thing that's new on streaming. It's this new South Korean. And remember, like, a lot of these South Korean shows are big on Netflix. A few weeks ago, like a month ago, we had Squid Game, which is huge. I saw it and, you know, it was really good. Here's a new one. It's called Hellbound. And this one's a bit weird, man, because it's kind of like religious. It plays on this kind of like supernatural idea about, you know, about sinning and the people who sin, what are the consequences of that? So this Hellbound takes place in South Korea, and people start seeing these, they're like kind of ghosts. Do you know how I can kind of describe it is, they're like, what's that Marvel villain? One with the, we've already seen before. Is it like Sandman?
Yeah, Sandman? Spider-Man?
Kind of, you know, like the Sandman character in Spider-Man?
Yeah.
They're like these three things that look like that, but they're kind of like, seriously, they're three things like Sandman, but it's kind of like this cloudy dust thing. They come and they basically, they take you because you've been sinning there's like judgment and there's like end of the world type of kind of scenario on here. It looks mad, and it's kind of like, it's like number six in Australia. It's like number one in like loads of different countries. So I'm going to check this out. I haven't actually seen it.
I've seen the trailer. It does look a bit mad. It looks very, very,
looks
very
mad.
Yeah.
Like supernatural, like kind of religious and like all this sort of stuff. Yeah. So I'll give it a go and we'll see what happens. But if you've seen it, let us know what you think. That's new on streaming. And DeVal, so tell us about these trailers.
Okay, what trailers we got? So we've got a couple of trailers. First one is Nightmare Alley. Nightmare Alley is actually a film we spoke about a little while ago, and it stars Bradley Cooper. It's actually directed by Guillermo del Toro, as we know from his many movies over the years.
Loads
obviously Oscar nominated, Oscar winner as well. But yeah, this movie is quite dark. It's set in the, I want to say it's set in the 1920s, I think. It's set back in the day anyway. Sort of Dick Tracy era. And Bradley Cooper is like a clairvoyant. He's a bit of a con man from what I understand in the trailer. And he works with Kate Blanchett, who's a psychologist. And they kind of work together to, I guess, trick people and all sorts. But it's not as simple as it sounds, because Guillermo del Toro doesn't do simple as it sounds films.
Yeah.
And you know he likes dark. He likes a bit of horror. He likes a bit of supernatural. So the trailer doesn't show that part of it, but you kind of get an eerie suspicion that there's a underlying, you know, intense kind of mystical horror involved in this. And I'm not quite sure what it is, but it looks interesting enough. And it's coming out in December. So I am going to watch it. And I think you should
we'll check it out. Trailer, listen,
maybe watch it too.
Yeah, no, listen out for the
January
review.
January here, actually, in the UK. But yeah, looks interesting. Mm.
Yeah, is that, yeah, that sounds good.
Bradley Cooper, Kate Blanchett, Willem Dafoe, Rooney Mara, Toni Collette, Ron Perlman, who always shows up in Guillermo's films. Quite a lot of good actors there. So yeah.
Looking good, that one. And the other one that you put on there is Pam and Tommy. Now, we've kind of, I've seen like some pictures of this, but this is the story of Pamela Anderson and Tommy. What was it? What's his name? Tommy Gunn. Tommy Lee Jones.
So
he's part, he was in a, like a rock band, and obviously Pamela Anderson, I mean, come on, Baywatch. But this is about the incident of their sex tape, isn't it? Something to do with that.
Yes. Now this trailer, it looks a lot, like a lot of fun. Do you remember that film? I, Tonya.
Yes.
Yeah. So with, this is the same director. Yeah. Same makers. Okay. I, Tonya. I got a sneaky suspicion they would have actually asked, Margot Robbie play Pamela Anderson, because she could have done that, I reckon.
Yeah,
but
yeah,
I don't know
really
what
good.
She's not doing. But Lily James is playing Pamela Anderson. Sebastian Stan is playing Tommy Lee. He was actually in I, Tonya as well. He's coming back to work with the Bakers. And yeah, it's just like you said. So the sex tape was released, and back in the '90s or whenever it was, and it just obviously back then it went viral, but not in the same way it would do now. And back then it actually was a tape.
Yeah,
kids talk about sex tapes now, but there's no physical tape these days. But that back in those days, then they made money off it, and people exploited it. Obviously, it made them, well, Pamela Anderson was already very famous. Tommy Lee was already famous, but in a different way, you know. But this is the sort of thing that kind of happened to different people. Paris Hilton, Kim Kardashian, those careers were made off sex tapes. I mean, you know, it sounds like a mad thing, a bad thing to actually happen to someone, but Kim Kardashian, I don't care what anyone says, even her, I'm sure she wouldn't change that for the world, because that...
Because look where she is.
Look at them, they're billionaires from that.
Crazy.
Exactly.
She was, and apparently, she was Paris Hilton's like wardrobe, like she would pick out clothes for Paris Hilton.
Is it?
That's how, like, seriously, man, this is it. This is how it happens, so devout, man. I don't actually, mind you, I don't want to see a sex tape of you out there on the internet somewhere, man. So please don't.
Well, I better make sure no one gets hold of it then, innit?
But listen, so the news here is that the transformation of Lily James.
Yeah, she looks good for it. And also Winter Soldier, Sebastian Stan.
Winter Soldier,
he looks
good
for it too. But it looks like a fun film, actually. I'm gonna watch this. When I first, it's actually a series. Sorry, it's not a film, it's a series. Eight episodes on Hulu. I think it's going to be, on Hulu it's going to be. So yeah, different series. So yeah.
Yeah, that's, and isn't Hulu owned by Disney?
Hulu, I believe so. Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
So it might end up on like Disney Plus or something like
that.
Possibly. All right, we'll obviously let you know on that one. Let's get into Anniversary Corner. And we've chosen a movie which... I mean, I've seen this movie. I remember watching it like years ago. I've seen it on TV and stuff. And it's kind of one of those movies. When it first came out, I didn't watch it. I think I caught it later on, like on Sky or something like that years ago, like after that. And you're like, okay, I've heard a lot about this movie, so let me just watch it. This is The Devil Wears Prada.
Yeah.
And it was kind of like the breakthrough role for Emily Blunt.
2006, 15 years ago.
Yeah, man.
Emily Blunt came through and done a good job in this film. I think she was like the person in the Prada environment that wasn't very Prada-ish, I think, isn't it?
No.
And she didn't really like know what to do and all that.
Receptionist. Oh, exactly. No, that was, sorry. No, that was, that's Catwoman.
That was Anne Hathaway. Was she the one that was
Anne Hathaway?
Oh, yes, of course. I'm getting them mixed up. Yeah, of course. Yeah. So Anne Hathaway's in this. Yeah. Meryl Streep, the great Meryl Streep. As you said, Emily Blunt, Stan Tucci, otherwise known as the person that made Captain America.
Yeah. That's her brother-in-law in real life.
Who?
Emily Blunt's brother-in-law.
Is it? I didn't know that.
Yeah, oh, he's okay. Married to her sister.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that. Okay. Oh, small world. Mm. But yeah, this is a top film. My brother actually likes his film, which I'm very surprised about. He likes his film, though. I'm going to watch it. 2006. It's a film about fashion. Obviously, everyone knows about Prada. And the fashion industry is a very cutthroat industry. You know, we just we get to see the runway. We get to see it in the retail shops. But what goes on behind the scenes, it's quite a tough industry from what I understand. Man. So
huge.
That's why they say the devil wears Prada, isn't it?
Exactly. And the devil in this, like, it's that Meryl Streep character, the way she treats all the people around her like shit.
Yeah.
And then there's a little bit at the end where Anne Hathaway's character, she makes it. And then I liked it because they see each other at the end and they don't say anything to each other, but they just nod to each other and they know that, you know what, okay, there's respect there at the end of it. So, which is kind of, you know, it's interesting, that one. So that was Devil's Wear Prada. And the reason why we bring that to you is because Deval went out and watched House of Gucci. So Prada, Gucci, like, you know, these high, you know, high cost fashion brands and like, you know, and this is a new movie directed by Ridley Scott, who you'll know, obviously, from Aliens and, you know, Blade Runner and whatnot, who just recently made the Duel, The Last Duel, which I didn't catch, actually, by the way. So this is his other latest movie, and Deval went out and watched it. And so Deval's going to let you know about it. And so, yeah, set it out for us, Deval.
Yeah, House of Gucci. So I wasn't going to watch this film, but then I thought I should watch it because it looks like an interesting film. So I watched it. And do you know what? Just to start with, the film's actually quite decent.
Okay.
It's actually quite a decent film. 2 hours and 20, Ridley Scott directing. Lady Gaga is the main sort of star in this, as well as Adam Driver, who's Maurizio Gucci. You've got Aldo Gucci, is Al Pacino. Funny how his name's Aldo and it's Al. But he's the uncle of Adam Driver's character. Jeremy Irons is Rodolfo Gucci. He's the dad of Adam Driver. And then we have Jared Leto, Paolo Gucci.
In it as well.
I watched the whole film and I didn't know it was him.
The way
he looks in this film, he's overweight. They put all this makeup on him. I watched the whole film thinking, who is this guy? He looks familiar, but I didn't know who it was. And they all have Italian accents, all of them.
Ah.
Yeah. Okay. I watched the whole film. Do you know what? Performance for me is a good, that's an Oscar winning supporting actor performance.
So good. Yeah, well, he's good. Yeah, he's good, man.
I had no idea it was him. I had to come home, go on IMDb and check to see who it was. That's how I found out. That's how unrecognizable he is. But the whole film is basically about the Gucci family in Italy, the way that the family have built the empire. The father and sort of brother were sort of the main people creating the empire. Al Pacino and his brother owned it, but Al Pacino done all the legwork, really, Gucci and what it is. And Adam Driver was part of the family, but wasn't really involved. He wanted to be a lawyer, actually.
Okay.
Adam Driver's character wanted to be a lawyer. He sort of meets Lady Gaga's character, who's nothing to do with fashion. Her dad owns a transport company and she works in the office, but she meets Adam Driver and she goes for it. She sort of goes for what she wants. So she meets him, goes for it, and thinks, oh, that name sounds familiar, Gucci. She wants to be a part of it. So they meet up, obviously relationship happens and stuff like that. But the real thing that happens in this movie that really changes things is that people get jealous. People want power. Okay. And people are backstabbing, even within the family. There's a situation where one of them reports that the other one isn't filing their taxes properly. And then the tax police, or whatever you want to call them, go to that person, and that person ends up in prison, out of the picture for a year, meaning that someone else in the family can infiltrate and do what they want to do. That's what happens. But then that creates weakness. And then someone else in the family sees that weakness and tries to seize upon it by... I'm telling you, I don't want to spoil it too much by saying who does what, but it's backstabbing all within the family. And by the end of it, it breaks down the whole family. And obviously Lady Gaga's involved. She's really good in this. I mean, they're all actually really good. They're all really good. She is like no singing, just an actress in this. And she actually is. I didn't know as well it was her. I knew it was her when I saw the film, but when I saw the trailer, I had no idea it was her. But she does really good.
She does really good. And then what about like, so there isn't kind of like a particular like villain of the piece. It's like the whole family is just like in shambles.
Yeah, all kind of backstabby. I mean, Adam Driver seems to be the one that is quite wholesome to start with and all that, but he soon turns and Lady Gaga influences him as well. And then soon enough, their relationship gets a bit of a madness and it just gets really bad. But the way the film is, there's some really comedic elements in it. Jared Leto's character, he's very funny. Even the way he talks.
And what about the accents?
Might find it offensive. Yeah, actually, most Italians might find it a bit, you know, offensive.
Like a caricature of it or something.
Yeah, but it's a really funny, it's really serious at times. It shows you the different competition within the fashion industry. Tom Ford pops up in it as well. It shows how he was involved in Gucci's story. And the whole film is kind of, it's quite a character-driven film. Very, very, there's no special effects in this, obviously. It's all very sort of to do with the characters and their relationships. And actually, there was no point in the film where I got bored, which is a good thing. 2 hours and 20, so that's always a danger. But the way the film ends, unless you know the story of the Guccis, bit of a mad ending. But it's a good film. I definitely recommend it.
What is the appeal of, like, you know, these brands, man? Like, people are probably, I'm assuming people, when they watch a movie like this, they're going to be like, wow, Gucci, like, there's all this, like, rich history, like, you know, crazy history. It's going to drive up sales, I'm pretty sure.
Possibly, yeah. Possibly. Yeah, even the colours of Gucci, you find out why the colours were the way they were. Because one of the characters in Gucci went to go see a spiritualist or like a, you know, crystal ball person. What do you call them?
Yeah,
you know,
like a clairvoyant.
Clairvoyant, yeah. And she said to the person, "Oh, you need to wear more red and more green. Green is protective color, and red is a color for I can't remember." And because they said that, and then when you see Gucci, they've got a lot of red and green, isn't it, together? And it makes you think, "Oh, wow, is that where it came from?" Oh, it's mad.
Damn, it sounds
it's
really
mad,
good.
Yeah.
Listen, look, I'm jealous because look, I don't know what's going on with the cinema releases over here, where some of these big movies, they're not even releasing them like, you know, this year. So I think House of Gucci is coming towards the end of December or it might even be in January. So I'll have to catch that, you know, a bit later on. But folks who are listening and maybe watching on YouTube, if you do go out and, you know, watch the movie, let us know what you think.
Yeah.
You know, do you buy Gucci? Yeah, it sounds like a really interesting, and like you said, man, it's got an all-star cast. So were you surprised that this is a Ridley Scott movie?
I was, yeah. Didn't expect it to be him, to be honest, but pleasantly surprised. One of his best films that I've seen.
Yeah. In a long time, okay, all right, good. So that's a really good review. Check that one out, folks. If you do go out and you know, see that, then let us know if you think it's good or bad. Now, the other movie that we want to speak about is Bruised, which you can find on Netflix. This was just released not too long ago, actually, a couple of days ago or whatever. And so this is the it's the directorial debut for Halle Berry. And wow, I mean, devout Halle Berry, what a career she's had.
Yeah.
And when you watch this movie, it's so funny because when I was watching this movie, I was immediately taken back to the year 2000 to X-Men. Just to see the kind of, the you know, her career, that whole trajectory. She was like, that was like, you know, a big movie, obviously, for Fox and everything. And you obviously, no one knew back then just how big comic book movies were, but Halle Berry was a part of that. And, you know, she's Oscar winner. She's been in some other, you know, dramatic roles. Was it Monsters Ball?
I think so. And also she was
Monsters
in
Ball.
Swordfish.
Swordfish.
Was it Monsters Ball or the one where Billy Bob Thornton?
Yeah, Monsters Ball.
Feel good.
So, listen, you know, she's a really, really kind of, you know, great actress. And, oh, by the way, John Wick, that was the last thing that I saw her in was John Wick and everything.
Not a lot, you know. She's like 50 plus, but she looks half that.
She looks, oh, man. And in this movie, when I mean a physical performance, I don't think I've seen her doing anything like anything like this. But basically, she plays Justice. She plays a person called Justice, Jackie Justice. She's an MMA fighter, and at the beginning of the movie, you don't really see her fighting, but you kind of see it from her point of view. She's in the ring, and people are like saying, "Oh, look, you know, she's like 10 fights, you know." Never lost a fight, and she's taken on this fight and everything, and then something happens in the ring, and then basically her career's over, and literally cut to her cleaning toilets. So she's had this fight, she lost, something went on, but now she's basically bankrupted, she's got no money, she's cleaning toilets, and you know, she's just basically doing really bad jobs. And yeah, it's kind of like this reality kind of like, you know, check. And those initial kind of moments of the movie, I thought, oh, this is kind of has the feel of a Rocky movie. Now, I don't know, Devat, have you seen the original Rocky movie?
Yeah, of course. Yeah. Ages ago.
So, you know, that kind of, you know, that working class kind of, you know, coming from a working class neighborhood, and you kind of like, you know, the real kind of like New York life, I think it's set in New York, that, you know, you kind of get to see that, and you're like, damn, man, this was a world champion who's now in the dumps. And, you know, I kind of got that Rocky vibe to it. And, you know, she's, you know, not in a very good situation. She's living with her manager, who's also her boyfriend. And, you know, he's kind of like an aggressive guy, and they're both drinking, and she's basically going nowhere in life. And then, she gets called, or she goes to kind of like this underground illegal fight. And, you know, her manager, her boyfriend says to her, "Hey, listen, do you want to get back into the fight?" And she's like, "No, look, I don't want to fight." And how these movies go, she obviously gets, you know, involved in a fight, and that kind of kickstarts the whole kind of thing. So she gets involved in a fight, and there's a promoter over there and says, "Look, hey, Justice, I saw you kicking some ass. And I know you're kind of in a bad place, but listen, I want you to come to my gym, and I want you to train with my people. And listen, there could be something in for you." So there's that kind of, you know, that story arc, the kind of the warrior's journey where you're high, you're low, and then you go back up again. So it kind of, the warrior's kind of journey, it does all that. It does all those tropes. And, I remember there was a movie called Southpaw. Do you remember watching that one? Jake Gyllenhaal.
Yeah.
It kind of had a similar kind of like trajectory, but this is, for me, this is a better movie than that. This is kind of like, yeah, it's a better movie than that.
And her directorial debut as well. What do you reckon?
Man, I'm telling you, she hits it out of the park, because it's so emotional, so raw. There's kind of like a moment in the movie where she's confronted by her past. She left her kid, and the kid is on her doorstep. She's got a mum who, she's got like a fractured relationship with her mum, and there was some shit going on with her mum. And we learn that Jackie, Halle Berry's character, she was abused when she was young. And so from a young age, she's had to fight, and she's had to deal with all these obstacles. And now she's got her kid again, and there's been some trauma with the kid. And yeah, man, it's tough. You know, she's going through so much emotional pain. The only thing that I would say is there was one point in this movie, and I'm not going to obviously spoil this bit, but there's one moment where she has a relationship, a kind of like there's a relationship that she forms with another woman. All right. That's all I'm going to say. She forms with another woman. And for me, that kind of was a bit disjointed. Like, I don't think that was necessary. And, you know, and kind of like, you know, I'll leave that up to the viewers to decide on, you know, whether they thought that was kind of like needed or not. But, you know, I thought it was a great kind of directorial debut. There's kind of like the highs and the lows. You know, you win in life, you lose in life, you get battered, life knocks you down, and you know, you got to keep getting up, man. You got to keep fighting. And Justice, man, boy, does she keep fighting. And like, you know, there's a fight. Justice, I know, man. So, you know what? It's a decent movie. I'm not going to say, like, you know, it's a classic, like, you know, the original Rocky movie out there. But you know what? As far as kind of like, you know, a piece of filmmaking is concerned, I really liked it. I thought it was decent, man. Okay. And if she makes more movies, yeah, I'll go out and I'll watch them.
Mm, okay, nice one. Yeah. On Netflix right now, yeah?
This is showing on Netflix right now. And yeah, go check it out and let us know what you think, folks.
Cool. Nice one. Thanks for that. I'm going to finish off. Yeah. I've seen about 10 minutes so far, so I need to finish it off.
Yeah, finish that one off. So what? How are we doing for time?
I'm going to quickly sneak in this hidden gem because it actually relates to what you just mentioned with Bruised. This film is called A Vigilante. 2018, stars Olivia Wilde, and she is a survivor of an abusive relationship, very abusive relationship. We're hearing a lot about abusive relationships and just abuse on women and girls these days, and this is no different. Her ex-husband was so abusive that their son ended up paying the price for it.
Damn.
I'm not going to say exactly what happened, but in a very bad way. And she manages to, after many years, you know, get her freedom, and she joins a group of women that are survivors and are talking about their trauma, trying to heal. Yeah. And man, this a lot of pain. People have gone through a lot. Some people haven't survived. But in this film, she gets to a point of a real low. And then from that low, the only one way is up.
Yeah.
She takes it upon herself to train, just like Halle Berry did. She trains. She gets confidence, above confidence, I'll say. She almost turns superhuman. And wow. She learns how to fight back. And over a process of understanding, you know, how to fight men bigger than her, obviously. And she figures out a way of of finding out who these men are. I'm not going to spoil it, but she figures out a way. She has a connect where she finds out who these abusive men are, goes to visit them, and she deals with them. Not just physically, but financially. She frees the woman that's, you know, trapped in that relationship.
One example,
quickly, she goes to this man's house, deals with him, she beats him up real quickly, and then she makes him sign over all his finances. She signs over 70% of his finances to her, and he keeps 70, but he has to leave the wife who wants him to leave, but she's been trapped for years. And when that happens, the wife hugs her and says, "Oh, thank you." And like, it's such a moment, you know, she goes out liberating all these women that have been trapped, and she deals with the men. So she does that over a period of time. And then it gets to a stage where, first of all, the film is, it's not in a linear way. Film shows kind of the end-ish, and it goes back to the beginning of her journey. Really well-made film, really indie, proper indie film. I imagine it didn't cost much to make, not many locations, only a handful of actors. But Olivia Wilde in this film, usually she's very glamorous. Forget that. She is bare knuckle, bare bones.
Same thing with Halle Berry.
Yeah, just like that. These roles here, I think they really like, they enjoy these roles because it's very different to what they normally get cast for. And yeah, she goes in. But this is a really good hidden gem.
Sounds good.
I came across it randomly and I thought, A Vigilante, what's that about? And I watched it. I was so glad I watched it. But it's not a long film, hour and a half, something like that. But yeah, this is a film to watch. And I hope this gives inspiration to other people that have maybe been put in these situations that shouldn't be in these situations. But
yeah. Go seek help.
A great film. Go watch it. A Vigilante. Go do it.
I want to definitely check that. You know, what is it about these movies? Like with these actors, I think they kind of, you know, when you kind of have that kind of, that struggle, I think a lot of actors, they love that. You know, those storylines where you go through a lot of struggle and then you overcome those struggles and, you know, you kind of...
Character-driven.
Yeah. Exactly. I love those. And who doesn't love kind of like an underdog story? Like, you know, where the person who gets downtrodden, they fight back up, and everyone loves those stories. So it sounds a bit like that as well. And it's a physical role, I'm assuming.
Yes, very. She works out. She goes in. She's punching people up. She looks tough in this, sure.
Yeah. Wicked.
No makeup. Well, listen, no time for that.
Mm-mm. Yeah, no, wait, same thing with the with Bruise as well. So listen, maybe people, folks can watch it as a double bill, check out A Vigilante, and then go check out Bruise as well. Well, listen, look, we've got zero time left.
Yep, that's it.
That's the end of the show for you folks. We hope you enjoyed it. Remember, keep it locked with the Flixsters. We're going to be bringing you more movies all the time, every single week. We've got new stuff to talk about, and we're getting closer to Spider-Man. We're getting closer to, obviously, The Matrix. We're getting closer to Boba Fett, and we're looking beyond 20. We're looking towards 2023 now. I just jumped ahead. 2022.
I thought you was jumping. I was going with you there, but it's cool. It's all right. Well, I'll stay back. Stay back.
Man, I just time traveled. But listen, keep it locked with us, and we hope you enjoy it. Take it easy.
Yeah, cool. Peace out.
And don't forget to follow us on Instagram, Facebook, YouTube, and Twitter. Just pop in the Flixsters Podcast.